Kurt Cobain, lead singer of Nirvana, died 20 years ago. He was 27 years old. It was a short life, but he was a rock icon. He penned many songs that many said gave voice to their generation. The songs weren't always melodious or pretty, but they became synonymous with the grunge culture in the 90s, and Kurt Cobain became a rock legend. Now a new composition by two professional musicians reconfigures Kurt Cobain's gritty voice and sounds into an electroacoustic work. Paul Leary is a professor of music at Duke University. Paul, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
And you collaborated with Thomas Rosenkrantz, a pianist and professor at Bowling Green State University. Hello, Thomas.
Good to have you here as well.
So give us the layout of this, what we're going to hear, and then we'll go back to the origins of it.
Well, the piece originated with, as a composer, I really like to write music that is, I mean, it's a wonderful thing to write for living musicians. And so something as a composer I'm always looking for is to write something that the performer is specifically interested in doing. And so my question to Thomas was, you know, would you like, what really interests you in electronic music that I can do? And he said, I love Nirvana. And so, and that was two and a half years ago or so.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we started talking then, and you know, I started thinking about how I could think about Nirvana in terms of an electroacoustic piece. And so we originated, basically I started with this framework of deciding that only the sounds of Nirvana and Kurt Cobain and their music would be my sound source for the electronic part. And it was a good place to start because it gave me a lot of boundaries, which is really useful when trying to write a piece.
And not only did you use his music, but also an interview with Cobain, right?
Yes, I used several interviews, specifically one long section of an interview, which is where the title of the piece comes from, which is the title is Perfume, where in this specific interview, which happened right before his death, he talked about this book called Perfume by Patrick Susskind. And this book is about a perfume apprentice in the 19th century in France. And the book is fascinating. I just finished reading it, and it's really about this person who doesn't fit in with society and ends up very, very isolated and ends up, a mass murderer in a way. And of course, it's a tragic story, and it's a really fascinating commentary on Cobain's life, his own life, which he would take 6 months after the interview.
It sort of mirrors some of the angst that he must have been experiencing and his fascination with the olfactory as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, he struggled so much with his addiction to heroin, and it really tormented his life. And so I really wanted the piece to really tribute Nirvana and tribute their music. But at the same time, you know, writing a Nirvana piece could be really bad. And so it was really difficult.
Scary.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're treading on thin water, thin ice, I guess it is. And I didn't want to write something that was cliche or trying to be Nirvana music, which would have been really bad too. So, I ended up writing a piece to me that really expresses his angst and anger and his isolation. As an artist.
Well, Thomas, you're a Cobain fan. You've mm-hmm. been when you, as a professional musician now, this is always hard to do when it's the music of your coming of age.
Right, yeah.
To sort of separate the power of that music to speak to you and the kind of the quality of that music. Is that something you can do now, or do you care to do anything like
well,
that?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, this is all music that I did grow up with when I was a skateboarder, you know, back in Georgia when I was a kid. I would listen to Kurt Cobain and this kind of music, and it really was something that hit a chord with me, and then I evolved into becoming a classical pianist. But you know, I still have those kinds of punk rock roots, I like to think. But I think what's great about this piece is that it channels that aspect of Kurt Cobain, and I do my best to also channel that in my piano playing.
And so, how does this piece work? Tell us how it came together.
I wrote the piece, and the idea was that there's a lot of really great clips of isolated tracks from Nirvana. So what I found was vocal tracks only of a specific song or guitar tracks only, and I was able to isolate those out using a program called MaxMSP. I designed software that randomly chooses sections in songs and kind of mashes them together. And I just let this little box run and do really neat things. And then I pick the coolest things and put them in the music. The first clip that actually, one thing that is just so amazing about his voice is this really gritty anger sound, that the yelling, the guttural stuff is so powerful. And so I wanted to use that in my piece. So specifically from their first album, Bleach, the song Negative Creep, which there's a small clip of.
Yeah, let's hear it right now.
I'm a negative creep. I'm a negative creep. I'm a negative creep and I'm stoned. I'm a negative creep. I'm a negative creep. I'm a negative creep and I'm
You're listening to Classic Rock 101. I'm Frank Stacio, along with Paul Leary. Tell us more about that clip.
Right. Well, so, you know, I really wanted basically to have Kurt Cobain be the vocalist in my piece. And so I used these screams. I used these things in a completely new context in the piece. But I just pulled them right straight out of this song. The second clip, which is a more substantial, this is from a song that was actually recorded in 1994, but it was never released, and it became actually a big legal battle between Courtney Love, Kurt Cobain's ex-wife, and the surviving members of Nirvana. And it's a song that I literally took part of the verse straight out of it and put it in my piece. So basically, what I did was recontextualize the vocals into a new piece.
All right, so then, Thomas, what's your role in all of this?
Well, I mean, I think what I'm trying to do as a pianist is just add to this kind of crazy energy that's happening. The first part of the piece is rather excitable, and there's a lot of screams and so forth. And so the piano is, you know, kind of rooting this on in some way, or causing these screams to happen with some of the things. Or that's how I see it happening.
Do you play against these clips sort of as an improvisation, or do you sit down and listen and do some writing?
No, everything Paul wrote out is exact. So I just play what he wrote and try to, you know, give it what it needs as far as its feeling and so forth. Yeah.
It's very dissonant music. I mean, yeah. If I think about Kurt Cobain, well, it's tonically rooted, but it's also, if I think about Kurt Cobain sitting down at a piano, I can just see him just, you know, pounding on chords or just playing with his fists, you know?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of that in this piece, this kind of angry, loud, dissonant chord structure. And
well, let me ask you to think about that as a composer. I mean, when you feel that feeling that he expresses, of course it is dissonant, then you're a songwriter. So do you see him sort of reining in the angst and making it a melody, or does he just allow the angst to poke through a melody that's coursing through his head? And then, if any of that's possible, how did you approach it as a composer?
Well, I think that, part of the grunge aesthetic is this contrast of the quiet verse and then the very loud, angry chorus. And so, you know, I absolutely am interested in kind of that, you know, partly what's happening in this music is a bursting forth all the time, you know, where things are quiet and then just it erupts into screaming. And so I'm definitely trying to have that come out in my piece as well, you know. Mm. And yeah.
Do you bring, Tom, is it your classical training that you bring to this, or do you bring your fanship, and do they somehow meet in this project?
Well, yeah, I mean, try my best. But I mean, a lot of this music is, I mean, it's not the same as Bach. I'll just say that. Okay, but
no, but there's a lot of Beethoven in Kurt Cobain, don't you think?
Sure. Oh, yeah. There really is. But I mean, like I said, something about the rawness of this music is something I try to bring. But I mean, I think if you were to play, you know, the sonata by a late sonata by Beethoven, it's the same kind of thing. I mean, it's about trying to bring that energy into what you're doing.
He does
whatever
some wacky stuff with kind of softening you up and then hit you with a chord that a dissonant chord that comes out of nowhere and gets very loud all at once.
Sure.
Absolutely.
He was an angry guy.
Yeah.
He'd been the perfect guy. Let's listen to a little bit more. I want you to talk about it, but let's get another clip and we'll talk about it.
Thank you. I'm pissed off about everything in general. And so all these songs are pretty much about my battle with things that piss me off. And that's just the whole theme of the whole album.
I would never bother you. I would never promise to you.
There's a little piece of the electroacoustic concert that you will hear at Duke. Let me ask you this. Is this something that appeals to Nirvana fans, or is this something totally other that brings sort of Cobain into a whole other realm of musical consideration?
Well, I think both. First of all, to not get into trouble with the law, it has to be transformative. So I definitely, you know, I'm not competing with the Nirvana albums, of course. So the idea, absolutely, that I want it to be transformative and be something other, partly because I don't want to compete with Kurt Cobain. You know, he did better than I'm doing. So,
well, in some ways.
Well, it's just different. Yeah, yeah. And so I absolutely, though, you know, what I love about writing electro or writing, I'm very interested in a composer of getting rid of these boundaries of classical music and popular music. And so to me, this is a way of doing it, reaching out beyond what we think about as classical and popular and mixing them up.
Hey, it's a great piece. It's a lot of fun. I want to thank both of you for being on the program.
Thank you.
Paul Leary is a professor of music at Duke University. Thomas Rosenkrantz is the pianist and a professor at Bowling Green State University. And you can hear that piece that we played earlier today tonight at 8 o'clock as part of an electroacoustic concert at Duke's Nelson Music Room. More on our website, stateofthings.org, and more of the State of Things coming up. Stay tuned.